We're in New York at Cloud Expo. We're talking with Stuart Gillen, Director of Business Development at SparkCognition in Austin, Texas. Thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with Search Cloud Apps.
Of course. Thanks, Joel.
Your specialty is analytics and cognitive computing and the intersection of the two, which I find really interesting. Can you define for us what cognitive analytics is?
Sure, I'll do my best. We see cognitive analytics as quite simply the way a human brain approaches the problem. So rather than getting focused on one particular technique, where we see a lot of artificial intelligence organizations going, they focus in on one technique or expertise on one technique. We use a variety of different patterns and learn from those patterns the way the human brain works. With the human brain, you don't just look at one context, but what's everything surrounding it, and how do you use all that information to come up with the right answer to the question or to the problem or whatever it may be. And we see that as the cognitive approach to applying machine learning or artificial intelligence techniques.
So what is it that SparkCognition actually sells? Is it a packaged software product? Is it something that runs as a service on-prem in the cloud?
The easy answer is yes to all of those. We have two main products. One is a cybersecurity product where if you think of log lines or ports or IP addresses as just another sensor, then we use machine learning techniques to provide cybersecurity to retail, to banking, to power industries, whoever it may be. We then also use the same techniques to do a second product, which we call Spark Predict. That's geared towards the predictive maintenance market. The predictive maintenance market is where, by utilizing sensors or data, structured or unstructured data coming off of machines, let's take a wind turbine as an example, we can actually use techniques with cognitive computing to be able to predict the failure, therefore downtime, of those very high dollar to fix pieces of equipment.
We recently wrote an article about an old line field HVAC repair company that recognized patterns in equipment, and the people could see when something was about to fail. They eventually started developing their own software. So it sounds like they're applying some of the same principles that you're using. But what interests me, or what concerns me a little bit, is when we talk about analytics, we get into this whole thing about rules. And to me, rules-based systems tend to be rigid in nature. But the technology and wind turbines or jet engines or whatever it is, everything is continually undergoing change and evolution. So is rules-based analytics too rigid for what we're trying to do today?
Well, I think the short answer is yes. My guess, without working with them, is the example on the HVAC guys, they were probably using a rules-based approach. For air conditioners, things of that complexity, that might be okay, but I think you basically nailed it. From what we see, data is not static. Data is continuously changing. It's being modified. A gas turbine that you operate in Florida is not going to be the same as one you operate in California, let alone in Alaska or the Middle East. If you look at just temperature as a variable there, the data is always dynamic. And so to say you can apply a strict rules-based, and not to say that rules can't be augmented into the cognitive approach, that's okay. But things are changing, and they're dynamic, and that's just the world we live in today. So taking this rich or this strict structured approach is not going to adapt as we see the market today.
So to follow your example of maintenance of something as complex and dangerous to work on as a wind turbine, that could be 400, 500, 600 feet in the air.
Sure.
What about machine learning? Does machine learning impact the way that we do maintenance from, say, run to failure,
yep,
to, on the other side, predictive and prescriptive?
Absolutely. And again, we're seeing that machine learning, cognitive computing, and artificial intelligence, we see that as the next revolution is starting today. There was kind of, AI was a big thing 20 years ago, but with modern computing, the amount of data, AI 3.0 has seen a resurgence. And if you take the example of a wind turbine, a lot of people used run to failure or what they would call predictive maintenance modes, where they would just go fix it, you know, once every 4 months, whether it needed it or not. The issue with that is many times on these complex machines, as you mentioned, when putting them back together, sometimes, many times actually, there's been studies that the maintenance operator puts them together wrong. So you basically introduced failure into a machine that was working perfectly well. So you can use predictive, some people call it prescriptive, where if we can try and understand based on past failures or patterns in the data, and we can give operators notice, they can now schedule around that downtime. We can't actually take the data and miraculously fix the wind turbine, but we can tell them, hey, if you have a wind farm where you've got 200 wind turbines, and to get a crane out on these operating sites sometimes is $250,000 to $1 million a day, instead of one broke, now you got to send the crane unexpectedly out to fix one, 10 days later another one breaks. If you can understand that within a month, five of these might break, then you can take a planned approach to this, send the crane out once instead of five times, and save, you know, $1 million to $4 million right there. So that's a benefit where using machine learning, looking for these patterns in the data, can help the owner operator.
When you're looking for patterns in data, one thing that I've learned from growing up in the retail industry is every company thinks its data and processes are unique. And that's really not the case, at least in what I've seen over the years. Does that rule or does that premise apply to your business as well?
I would agree with you. Everybody thinks their data is unique. I think a lot of processes are unique, but the actual data that we're finding is, and the patterns that we find are not unique. And as I kind of started out the conversation, we can apply the same technologies and techniques to cybersecurity as we can to a wind turbine or a gas turbine or pumps or drilling in oil and gas drilling. So if you take a pump in the oil field versus a pump in mining versus a pump in, you know, name your industry, the energy sector, they're all the same. A piece of data is a piece of data, and we're looking for patterns. So the data is not necessarily unique. The process or the workflow with how people apply those, they are typically unique.
You raise the point of looking for patterns. I'm always intrigued by the idea of, one, we're looking for patterns that we know about, but on the other side, there are those patterns for which we might never have been looking for in the first place.
Definitely.
Can you recognize those as well?
Yeah, definitely. Let me give you an example of that. We worked with one of the largest pump manufacturers in the world. And this is a company that has been designing and building pumps for 100 years. They have mechanical engineers on staff. They've modeled these pumps. They know every single thing there is to know about their pumps. They gave us some data, and they told us, you know, we believe there are five failures within this data set. So we utilized our techniques and our algorithms, and certainly we were able to find those five. So that was kind of the step one, and we were able to identify those five. But we took it a step farther, and we said, well, we have really no knowledge of these pumps. But let's just apply these different techniques. You said there were five. Okay, we believe you. But let's look at the data another way. We were actually able to identify two additional modes of failure in that data that the experts were unable to even find. Just because in all industries we see, you just get used to looking at things in a certain sort of rote. You talked about rules-based approach. And by just taking a sort of ambiguous view of what is the data telling me, we can look at things and take five failure modes and turn them into seven failure modes. And that's a powerful impact to organizations.
My readership is primarily application developers working on cloud applications and mobile applications. When you come into a company with your technology, what is the role that business's developers can play?
Certainly. So, you know, everybody today talks about open SDKs, open APIs, and we're no different. So as we see it is, our products can go everywhere except that last mile. Now, we can develop out the last mile, but by having these open SDKs, open APIs, that last 10 to 20% of the product, of the finished project, can be used by developers on-premise, offshore, whatever it may be, in the cloud. You'd mentioned earlier we do on-prem, in the cloud, whatever it might be, and taking the results and applying it to the customer's experience. Everybody has their own dashboards, their own BI, their own apps, whatever it may be. So it allows developers within your readership then to take the results and present it in a meaningful way to end organizations.
So when you come into an organization, you're actually bringing opportunity to the developers. You're not taking business away from them.
Correct. We have both models where in some cases we've been contracted out to do that last mile. But in many cases, as you'd mentioned, there's definitely opportunity for other developers because the either within the customer site or if they want to outsource that as well.
All right. What is the parting message on cognitive analytics?
So the parting message is it's here. It's real. You look at Google with AlphaGo, with driverless cars. Those are all artificial machine learning cognitive approaches to be able to solve real-world problems where there's a tremendous amount of data where decision and insights need to be made.
And we'll leave it on that note. We've been talking with Stuart Gillen, Director of Business Development at Spark Cognition in Austin, Texas. Thank you very much for taking the time.
You're welcome. Thank you.